Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, my name is Steven, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Deanna Joseph comes forward to talk about the finer points of co-creating with your angels. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. First, we have Maureen. How are you doing this evening, Maureen?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm getting by okay. I've been having a lot of stuff going on this week, but with things, family.
It's been a busy week.
People, you know, leaving this physical world and everything, but that's okay. But I thank you for asking. I'm doing fine, and I'm looking forward to the show, very much so.
Well, we're definitely happy to have you here, and we're going to be interested in getting your reactions to this to tonight's special topic after the interview. But before we bring out Deanna, can you share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm an intuitive psychic spiritual counselor. However, I'm also I utilize tarot cards as I feel very strongly. The way I view them is they're a symbolic record of human experience. And because I'm also an empath, I tend to get feelings very deeply, and it can be very overloading. Makes for good reading, but it can be very overwhelming because I get overloaded. So when I do readings, if somebody should call and I'm talking about how I feel things, it's because that's like how I run on getting my messages and stuff. So I do, yes.
It's part of your method, receiving and being an empath.
It's not part of what I chose. It's just
it's just the way it works
out. It is, but there you have it. Thank you, Steven.
Sure. You can find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. And we also have here tonight Steve Frampton. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
And I hear that word around town is that you're a proud new papa. You care to tell us a little bit about that real fast?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will have tomorrow evening a chocolate Labrador puppy. He's 10 weeks old. His name is Jimbo, and he's traveling at the moment. He's in Switzerland right now, and he flies to the U.S. tomorrow.
Well, congratulations!
Thank you, Steve.
Well, why don't you share a bit with us about some of your talents that you use over at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure, Stephen. Well, I've always been a psychic medium, and mediumship, as I've said before, enables us to connect with other realms. And particularly to channel evidence of the afterlife. And it's extremely healing for people to receive evidence from their loved ones in spirit, knowing that they're safe and that they continue their journeys. And I also am an avid astrologer. I enjoy astrological research, but I find astrology very useful as well for answering questions about when things are most likely to occur, and also understanding why people are the way they are.
Outstanding. Well, we're glad you could be here with us tonight, Steve, and we'll definitely get your input after the interview about tonight's topic. And if you would like to book some time with Steve, you can find him at PsychicAccess.com. Nona Marie, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, before you explain a little bit about Deanna, could you share with us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I do kind of straightforward readings for people and pets, and tend to be more on the predictive side of what's going on and try to put it into a context of why is this happening and how can we grow from it all. So, very nice.
Can you tell us a little bit about your guest tonight?
Well, Deanna is what I would call a light worker. She does lots and lots of different things, and she teaches many, many classes out here in Southern California in the Inland Empire, which is a rather conservative area. So she is a shining star. And actually, her studio is called, Bright Star. Yes, it's called Bright Star, which is what she is. And tonight, though, we're just focusing on one of her many talents, which is working with angels and helping people to get into relationship with angels and co-create with them. And I can't wait to hear what she has to say about angels and her work.
Well, okay, I do believe Deanna is ready, so let's begin.
Deanna, are you there?
I sure am.
Yay! We're all so excited. All of us are going, oh, angel stuff. We don't know that much about it, so this is going to be very exciting.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you.
Good. So, I want to start at the beginning about how did you get into this, and what were you doing before you did angel work?
Well, before I did angel work, I actually worked for a mortgage company. And but I always had the interest in metaphysics, even from the time I was a kid. So I got laid off from that job, luckily, after 10 years, because I think I never would have left. And I got into holistic healing. And it was from the point in holistic healing that I kind of jumped off into the world of the angels.
So can you explain that a little bit more? Because holistic healing is like herbs and acupuncture and things like that. And right? Is that correct?
Yeah. I started off training as a massage therapist, and I got into some other modalities. And I thought I was just learning a way to work with people to do natural kind of healing. But what I discovered is that after I had been doing this for a little while, I started receiving information about them that I didn't know how I was receiving it, but I would just know things about them. And I was young. I was, didn't understand about being psychic. I mean, I thought people could be psychic, but I didn't believe I was somebody who would be like that. Mm-hmm. And so I started hearing things and understanding things about my clients that were, on the metaphysical side,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, I happened to connect with a couple of lovely ladies here in the Inland Empire who had, I think, the only New Age store that ever lasted for more than a few years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were such beings of light, and they supported me in all my questions. And so I saw all the angel books at their store, and they talked about angels and beings of light all the time. And I just thought, I really want to do this. I want to communicate with the angels.
Well, that actually was a godsend, because I was just going to ask you for people who are listening for their sake, because when one has a kind of awakening of a gift, very often you can feel like you're going crazy, or you don't know if it's really real or something in your imagination. And it sounds like having this bookstore, these women, a New Age store around, that was a huge support and validation for you. Is that true?
It is true. And that's what I want to pass along now, because, this happened almost 20 years ago. And right. We know that 20 years ago, things were a lot different. It was you didn't meet that many people who would talk about intuitive abilities. But now it seems like everywhere I turn, and you probably notice this too, they're just, people are having these awakenings, and they get this feeling that there's something greater trying to work through them, and it's trying to guide them. Right. But there's still not a lot of places to turn to get understanding of why this is happening.
Right. Well, especially out here in this area of California, is mm-hmm. so conservative. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It is.
So, I guess the first thing I want to start with is I want to talk about how you define co-creation, but I also want to know, like, what are angels? And you made a statement to me when we were talking prior to the show about everyone has angels, including Hitler. And I thought that was lovely that you said that. That was really fabulous. So, because it's true, sometimes that's sort of always my mantra. Well, what about Hitler? Because... that's such a big question mark about how do things like that happen. So Could you talk to us about what are angels versus archangels, and what does co-creation mean to you, and how does that work?
Okay. Well, when I started working with angels, I didn't know anything about them. And the only book I had actually ever seen was written by, I think, Billy Graham. And so I didn't have any idea really what I was getting into. But I was raised with the belief that we have a guardian angel, but I didn't think we interacted much, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided that I wanted to contact my angel, and I wasn't sure how to do that. But what I did know is, because I've worked with my dreams since I was a teenager. And so I decided, well, I'm going to ask for an angel in my dream. And so I did. I asked for an angel to visit me in my dream. And that night I got a dream where the only thing in my dream was a hand handing me a business card. And it, on one side of the business card, right in the center, about the size of a thumbprint, was the outline of an angel. Mm. And so I turned it over and it said Metatron. Now, at the time, I had no idea who Metatron was. So I went on my computer. Google was not born yet. So I went on AOL to do my search. and it took me, 2 hours because it was AOL.
But, and dial-up also, right?
Yes, it was dial-up. But I did find a website that talked about Metatron. All right. And it just said that Metatron was an angel who would appear to people when they were ready to have a spiritual teacher. So when I started working with angels, I did not know about the hierarchy. All right. And I learned about Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael and all these angels. I just started learning about them gradually, but I didn't know that they were a hierarchy. I discovered this later, and I discovered it from somebody who had, they had written an article, and it was more on how to, through the art of ceremony, connect with the angels, and it was a very serious ceremony. And so I thought, well, I'm really glad I didn't know about this, because it would have made it a lot harder for me, doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So when I started studying angels, what I realized I was looking at was that, like, for one thing, most of the archangels were Babylonian or Assyrian gods and goddesses once upon a time, right? And so what I thought, and what works for me, is that really angels are frequencies of light. Mm-hmm. And they are such a high frequency, so far above us. And so my feeling when I'm working with angels is that our guardian angels, they're a tiny bit lower in frequency simply so that it's easier to reach us. Right. And then we have the archangels, and their frequency is higher, yet they are still capable of reaching us if we reach out to them. And then I know there are other angels who are even higher out there, but that's how it has always felt to me.
So when you say there's a hierarchy, is there something above guardian angels, archangels, and you said you thought there was something above that? Is there, if people were interested in learning more about hierarchy of angels, is there material out there about that?
Oh, there is, really. You can Google it now, and it's just, okay. Everybody has, ideas and thoughts about it. So there's a lot to read out there.
Great.
In fact... Recently, I discovered that in some Native American folklore, they have what they call messengers of light, which are like the angels. And there's a belief that every person had 48 of these angels, but they would come on in shifts, 12 angels every 7 days. Wow. So once you had a full moon cycle, you would have all 48 of your angels would have been with you.
I love that.
I do too.
So, how do you define co-creation? What does that mean?
When I first heard the term co-creation, it was connected to law of attraction. And it was back in the early 2000s when, you know, like Jerry and Esther Hicks, their Abraham material was starting to gain momentum. And there's a lot of law of attraction material coming out. Wow. So originally I thought that law or co-creation was what we did to work with God, right, or spirit. But our part was to tell the universe all the stuff we wanted, right? I want a new car, I want a vacation, right? All this stuff. And that was being co-creative, right? Right. And then we'd think about it. Over the years, what I have come to believe is that it's so much bigger process that I went through a phase of telling people, okay, a long time ago, when I first was getting into this whole law of attraction thing, I would tell people who came to me, they were thinking negatively, and that's why these bad things were happening. I mean, I would really say that. And now that is something I would never, ever tell a person, because what I really believe about co-creation is that it is about our surrendering to our divine plan.
That I love that. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. We are so often we think that co-creation is about serving our personality. It's about getting the stuff we want and guaranteeing that nothing bad ever happens and that we're always happy all the time.
Right.
But we know that we can't always be happy. Right? Things will happen, right? What's that saying? Pain is inevitable, suffering is not, right?
Right, right.
But when we are truly co-creating, we're not serving the personality, we are serving the soul. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes the soul calls us to walk through fire to get to that next brightest version of ourselves, mm-hmm. Right? A version of ourself that we maybe wouldn't have gotten to if we were still serving our personality.
Right. I so completely agree with you. And the original law of attraction material, I found it very destructive to people because it was like a guilt trip that if things weren't working, it was because of one's negative thinking. And I completely agree with you that serving the personality is like turning loose a little 3-year-old heroin addict. You know, just our personalities get crazy at times. We want chocolate, we want alcohol, we want cars, we want everything material. And
right. That
is not the best way to make a request of spirit. So I just am so happy that you documented your journey from where you started to where you've gotten to now in terms of co-creation. I think that's really great. I really agree with what you're saying about that. And it is a bit of a journey to get there because a lot of times when I work with spiritual people, their first place that they've gone to also is they want more stuff and they want to be happy.
Right.
We're not here just for that. We're here to also learn and grow. So.
Right. Yeah, I find that a lot of people don't like to surrender.
Oh, in the West, yes, especially, yes.
Right. I think a lot of times, I know people that I work with, they think that if they surrender their personal will, right, to serve their personality, to divine will, so they can do their higher calling, that it means they have to give up a job they love in their home and go sit on, you know, on a street corner and just contemplate God all the time.
Right. Exactly.
But I've found for me, when I finally can make myself surrender, because it's not always an easy process, but when I finally do it, I get something bigger and brighter than what I imagined.
Yes, I totally agree mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
And in the West especially, you know, we have the culture of just do it, no fear. So surrender for a lot of people, that I think they translate it to resignation and giving up,
mm-hmm.
which is at all, so
right. I you know, that what the universe can do for us is just so much bigger, but we have to really open up to allow it to use us as a channel.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I have this funny story that I love to tell about the idea of surrendering. When my kids were little, like 4 and 6 years old, we went to get ice cream, and they saw this other child come out of the ice cream store, and the child had an ice cream bar on a stick, right? It had been dipped in chocolate and rolled in rainbow sprinkles, okay? So my kids see this ice cream, and they're like, that is what I want more than anything. They were just going to have that. They had to have that ice cream, or they were just going to just lose it, okay? So we go into this little ice cream shop, and they immediately tell the gal working there they want the vanilla ice cream dipped in chocolate, rolled in rainbow sprinkles. But I'm looking at the menu, right? And I can see there's a whole bunch more stuff available besides rainbow sprinkles. And like M&Ms for one, okay? And so I say, kids, wait. Do you know there are other toppings? Let me tell you what the toppings are. And they said, no, we just want the rainbow sprinkles. So I was like, okay, fine. They get their rainbow sprinkles on their ice cream. We go sit outside. And they are eating their ice cream, and they are in heaven. They are so happy. It's vanilla ice cream dipped in chocolate with the rainbow sprinkles, just like they had been thinking about, right? Mm-hmm. Well, along comes another child with his dad, and they go inside, and then they come out with their ice cream. And it's been dipped in the chocolate and then rolled in M&Ms and marshmallows. My kids look at that, and this is really funny. This was done in total unison. They look at the other people's ice cream. Their mouths just drop open. They look at each other, and then they look at their own ice cream, and together they say, I want that ice cream. But I think that that is such a good example of really what is behind co-creation. Because we have no idea what is available to us. We can only guess what's available by what has happened in our own experience, right? What our friends have gone through, books we've read, something we saw in a movie. And that's what we're going to choose from because that's our experience. But if we do that, all we're ever going to get are the rainbow sprinkles, which everybody knows they may be pretty, but they don't taste like anything, right?
Right.
And so when we truly surrender and just say, okay, thy will be done, tell me the next thing to do, that is when we are given the opportunity to have something bigger, to experience something bigger.
I love this definition of co-creation. Very, very unusual, and I completely agree with you. So fabulous, and a great example with the kids.
It is.
Very, very profound when we think about it, that co-creation means to surrender to guidance from a higher being.
Yes.
Not tell them what to do.
Really?
So, for people, if they were starting to learn about this, how do people contact angels? How do angels appear?
I would say if somebody wants to contact the angels, just set that intention. Mm-hmm. And then really try to let go of your expectations of how they'll contact you. When I set my intention to have an angel contact me in my dream, I had this imagining that this great being of light with huge wings unfolding would appear and give me this wisdom and just shake my world to the core, right? Mm-hmm. And the angel thought different and just gave me a little card, and that was it. Yeah.
Right.
So, but I would just say start talking to them right now. Just right now. Talk to your guardian angel. Or if you've done any research and you know some names of other angels, you know, talk to anybody. Talk to any of the angels.
And how do you know that you're actually contacting an angel as opposed to, say, a lower spirit or some other kind of entity?
That is a really good question because that actually happened to me when I started talking to the angels. One morning, very early in the morning, about 2 or 3 in the morning, I wake up because something grabbed my foot. And I thought, okay, maybe this is spirit contact. I've been asking for spirit contact. I've been asking for the angels to talk to me. But what I realized was that I had such a frightened feeling. I mean, I was frightened to my core. I thought, this cannot be the angel. This is horrible. I am so scared. And I just couldn't move. And finally it went away. And so the next day I went to my favorite New Age store that was here in Redlands at the time. And these ladies, they laughed and they just said, well, you're shining your light, but you're not inviting anything in particular. You're inviting everything. So everything wants to come and see your light. Mm. And so this is when I learned about Archangel Michael as a heavenly protector. And so the next night, it happened again. Something grabbed my foot again. And so in my head, I didn't even say it out loud because I didn't want to wake up the whole house. So in my head, I just said, Archangel Michael. And the feeling immediately, I mean, the thing grabbing my foot let go. And the feeling of dread in my room just vanished. Mm. And so when we are setting our intention to work with beings of light, it is really good to say something like, only those of the highest light. Okay, something like that. Because, yeah, when we start getting curious and excited, our light is shining brighter and brighter, and everything loves it. You know, even especially lower entities, because they think they can get some energetic food, I think.
Yes, I agree with that. Especially if somebody is a big meditator and has a lot of personal energy, they can look like food on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, so only those of the highest light.
Yeah. So what happens if somebody starting out tries to contact angels and feels like they cannot contact them? What does that mean?
I've noticed it's one of two things. Very common is that somebody is simply trying too hard. And I hate to have to say it that way because it just sounds so simple and trite. Oh, you're just trying too hard. But that actually can be the case. When somebody's trying really hard, they have this expectation, they want it to happen now, and we really want to just be able to put our request out there and then let it go. Just say thank you and let it go. But that's hard, you know, when you're really excited about it.
Yeah.
The other thing I have noticed is when one of my clients comes to me and says, well, I did all the exercises. No, they'll say, I'm not contacting any angels. No angels are talking to me, and I'm talking to them all the time. And I will ask them, are you doing the exercises I gave you? Are you clearing your limited beliefs? And they will say, well, no, I've been really busy. So there's also this not being committed enough. If somebody was going to go, say they want to become really fit, right? So they joined a gym and they get a personal trainer. They would, if they wanted to see a difference in their physical body, they would go to the gym on a regular basis and they would do the things that their trainer told them to do, right? We know people who made that commitment and gone to the gym one time and that was all they put into it. But that's really important. We've got to be very committed to making that contact.
So what kind of exercises do you give people to help them? I love that idea, and I totally agree with you.
I believe like a really good exercise is to ask to be open to receiving divine contact. When I was pregnant, I was very excited about talking to the angels, all right? And every day, all through the day, I would like, angels, talk to me. I really want to talk to you. It's a lovely day. Please come talk to me. Tell me what to do next, you know? But I wasn't getting anywhere. But being pregnant, I had to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, right? What I would do, I would get up from bed, make my way down a dark hallway to the bathroom, and the whole way down to the bathroom, I was saying, don't talk to me. Whatever you do, don't talk to me now or you'll freak me out. You'll freak me out. That was a limiting belief. Mm-hmm. And so I was not actually open to receiving messages from my angels yet. I still had fear in me. Or I wouldn't have been saying that in the middle of the night. Right. And so I really believe the first thing that we should do when we want to receive messages from our angels or anything, right, anything we want to do, we want to make sure we're a receptive vessel for that. And my favorite affirmation for this or prayer is just to say, Infinite Spirit, open the way for me to be a good receiver. And so that, I think that's the main thing. Just keep making sure that you're open, that you're an open receiver, and that there's not some fearful limiting belief behind, you know, your request.
So you work with people in helping them develop their contact with angels. So what do you actually offer people? Like if they come to you for a session or something, what are some of the things you do to facilitate helping them connect with angelic forces and getting guidance and messages from their angels?
You know, most often I do this in a classroom setting, and what I first teach people is how to do either body dowsing or use a pendulum. Because if they are not open to having contact from the angels, it's simply not going to happen. No matter how many times they talk to them, if they have a fearful belief that's limiting them, that message is not going to come through. And so what I teach them to do, first of all, is using a pendulum or body dowsing, which is just when you stand up and you make a statement and you either lean forward or you lean back to get a true or false. And then we make sure they're open, and I'll have them make the statement, I am open to receiving divine guidance. I am open to contact from my angels. And if they get a no, I teach them then how to energetically clear that. Mm. Okay. And so that's the first part. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to talking about the ways that angels can contact us. Often, we'll have a person who maybe really wants to talk to the angels, and what they're expecting is to have the angel appear in front of them, but that never happens. And so they think, oh, I'm not having contact with my angels, right? But maybe they were asking their angel, well, should I take this job in Dallas? And they sit and they meditate and they wait for their angel to come to them, and the angel never comes yet. They get a postcard that afternoon from a friend who's in Dallas and says how much they love Dallas. Mm. And then they overhear somebody at the mall talking about their vacation in Dallas and how wonderful it was in Dallas and everybody should visit Dallas. And meanwhile, the person is thinking, why won't my angel tell me if I should go take this job in Dallas? They talk to us and they communicate with us in a lot of different ways.
Right. So do you help people discover how their angels talk to them in a class also? Is that something you go into?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because they can communicate with us through through a vision, for sure. There are people who have visions and see their angels, or they hear a voice of an angel. Oftentimes, angelic message comes to us through an inspiration. That's really very common, to be inspired.
And so why would someone come specifically to see you for angel work? Is this a special gift, or as opposed to trying to do it on their own or trying to go to some other kind of practitioner?
Well, I I am certified in many holistic healing modalities, mm-hmm. because I was always looking for that next thing that would fix me. Okay. Right. And so I've learned a lot. What I discovered was that my favorite healing modalities, which are energetic healing, dowsing, shamanic healing, hypnotherapy, and theta healing, mm-hmm. I found out that I just like mixing them all together. Because when I would try for myself, like say I went and got an energetic clearing session with somebody, I would feel really great that day. And the next day I would still feel pretty good. But then maybe the day after or the day after that, something in my life would trigger me and then I would have that same blockage again. Mm. And the same thing happened to me when I would be hypnotized. I would feel pretty good that day, but eventually I would just get that same blockage again because life would keep triggering me. There's always a new challenge to overcome. And so what I discovered is that if I mix these together and I put my client into a theta healing state, which makes them receptive, okay? Mm-hmm. But it gets them, in my experience, that we just can get there really quick, right? We don't have to go through a lot of, you're very relaxed, you know, going down all these stairs and whatever. Okay, so I get them in a theta healing state and I give them statements to help them clear their energy. I also, at the same time, I will be clearing their energy field using a pendulum. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, asking for all the angelic support that I can get. Mm-hmm. But see, with that, I teach them how to clear their own beliefs after they leave. Because we're always going to be challenged. Something is always going to trigger us. I mean, yes. Somewhere, right? Yes. And so, when I started doing this with clients a couple years ago, and I would see them once or twice, and then they wouldn't come back. And so I thought, well, maybe this isn't working as well as I thought it was. But then they would send their friends to me. And so I thought, okay, well, if they didn't like it, they wouldn't send their friends.
Right.
But what I found out was that probably half my clients were so committed to the process, they were getting up every day and clearing any limiting beliefs they had. Right. And so they would come see me 6-8 months later for a new big thing they wanted to work on.
Right. In other words, you were so good, you were putting yourself out of business, which is a great thing, actually. I love that. So we're going to take a quick 1 minute commercial break, and we will be right back with Deanna Joseph and co-creating with the angels.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
And we are back with Deanna Joseph, who is talking to us about contacting angels and co-creating with angels and how to do that and how to continue with the work. And we're now want to look into, people have learned how to contact angels. They're in a relationship with them. What can they expect? How is life different or how is life not different? What happens when you actually open this doorway?
Well, when we open this doorway, what happens is we, because we, you know, it's like you ask and you'll receive, right? Mm-hmm. So when we start asking our angels to help us, so that, because if we really are truly surrendering to divine will, and we are really, really ready to move toward that next brightest thing that maybe we have not been able to imagine, but we know the angels can guide us there. The next thing that will happen then when we have surrendered is that we will receive divine guidance. But we have to act on it or our life won't change, right? If you go back to the example of that person who wants to change their physical body to become really fit, they have to trust their trainer. They don't train really hard one day a week and then go sit on the couch and eat pizza for the next 6 days. Mm-hmm. So we ask our angels, what can we do? What do we do now? What's the next thing that I do? And our angels, that are, they really are divine coaches, they'll tell us the next thing that we have to do. Mm-hmm. But for our life to actually start changing, we have to act on what they tell us. The angels usually are passing information along to us to help us grow, to help us surrender, to help us live our highest purpose. And because our divine purpose, our highest purpose, that thing that will get us to the next brightest version of ourself, is something that we can't understand. We don't understand what it is. We don't know what to expect. So when the angels tell us to do a thing, it's usually something that doesn't look like what we thought it would look like.
Right.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. When we receive divine guidance, that's one of the keys to knowing it is really divine guidance. It should scare us just a little bit.
Right.
Right. Like, and being on a roller coaster.
Not scare us, so like dangerous scary, but scary like, right. Oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this kind of scary.
Right. Scary like, oh my God, I would love to do that. That sounds exciting, but I don't know how I could accomplish it. I don't have that kind of training. I don't know how this would work out. I wouldn't know what to do to get there.
Right.
And that is like one of the key elements of divine guidance. It gives us, it's creating a recipe for our life, but it's only giving us one ingredient at a time. And so we just have to wait for the next thing. We never know. We're probably never going to know what the next thing is. Right. But so, which puts us in the position that I think the universe wants us in, which is totally trusting it and just waiting for the next instruction.
Right.
Yeah. So we act on it. We act on that divine guidance, even though it feels like it's too big, even though it feels like it's even too bright and beautiful. You know, sometimes people back away from an opportunity because it looks too good and they're afraid that it won't work out for them. They're afraid they won't be good enough to carry through on it.
Right, right. Yes, it's a much bigger journey than people sometimes realize when we start mm-hmm. entering into a daily relationship with divine beings. It's quite different kind of life. It's amazing.
It is. But see, our life, we are each an infinite being in a body. So we're a being of light also. And we may not resonate at the frequency of an angel because we can't really, because we need to maintain our earthly body. But we're still a being of light, and light's natural state is expression and moving forward, right? You never see sunlight that shines down on our planet, but then backs up and goes back toward the sun. Sunlight, light itself is always going forward, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. So if our life is not changing every day, if we're not moving toward well-being every day, somewhere there's a limiting belief that's keeping that from happening.
Right, right. So can other people or can you contact someone else's angels on their behalf? And what can one do with that? And what does that mean to do that?
I do contact other people's angels on their behalf, and anybody really could do this. Anybody could do this. One of the simplest ways that we can contact someone else's angels is say that we have a friend and they are struggling with something. All right. We can, just on a very simple level, we can just ask our angel to ask their angel to help them. Mm-hmm. Or we can directly just say, you know, angels, please help my friend who's struggling so much. Okay, at its most simple level, I mean, that's just what we're doing. We can just put the request out there. When I do healing work with people, I do ask their angels to come in and help me and guide me, to inspire me to do whatever is best for my client, you know, mm-hmm. to help them to be able to move toward well-being.
Can it also be like a kind of intervention, you know, like when a family gets together and tries to get an alcoholic into rehab or something like that? Can a request be made like that to someone else's angels to rescue them or help them on their behalf, even though the person doesn't realize how destructive they're being at the time?
Right. You know, we can, but mm-hmm. we also want to remember that they have their own path, and it may be that they're at a point in their life where they are being called to walk through that dark night or the fire so they can get to the other side. Yeah. Often, I know I've worked with people who have told me, oh, I've asked for the angel's help over and over again, and yet he's still having this terrible time, or she's still not healing. That doesn't mean that the angels are ignoring our request, but we're putting out a love. We're putting out a loving energy, but the angels are still going to do whatever is best for that person.
Right.
And sometimes what is the next thing for them is to hit rock bottom, maybe.
Right. You know, so it sounds like that asking angels to intervene with someone else, that the request would have to be something like, please help them take the next step for their highest good. And then not have a expectation of what that highest good is and just let that be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite ways is to do this with other people is I will imagine them, and then I will imagine standing right behind them is their angel. And all I see then, I'll see the person and I'll see light surrounding them, and then I'll see wings unfold. Mm-hmm. And I will just say in my head, I love you, I love you, I love you. You are blessed by light and love. You are blessed by light and love. You are blessed by light and love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that just feels good. It's like I'm here, I'm supporting you, and I'm loving you. And whatever you need to do, I support that.
Great. I love that. What about angel cards? What does one do with them, and how do you get them? And is there a particular deck of cards that you like? Do you think it's a great tool?
I love angel cards. When I first got into them, I got this deck, and it's a darling little deck. It's just called the Original Angel Cards, and I actually have my second deck now, because my first one I just wore it out because I got it like I don't know, 20 years ago maybe. But all that's on these cards is just a word, just a loving word, and then a little tiny watercolor drawing of an angel. But I had, at the time when I got this very first little deck, and it's so tiny, it could fit in a box like you'd get a piece of jewelry in, like a little necklace or something. Mm-hmm. But I had been working in this office, and my second child was maybe 4 months old, and it was a good space to be in because they would let me bring my baby in, but I had the feeling I needed to move on. And so I would ask the angels, what should I do? What should I do? Because really what I was doing back then was asking my angels to give me a guarantee And this is something else that keeps us from surrendering, is we tend to like the guarantees. You know, right. We like to know that something's going to turn out right before we do it.
Right.
And so I asked my angels this, and I was really wanted the guarantee, but they didn't do anything. So I drew two angel cards out of this deck, and I got release and transformation. Hmm. And so I thought, okay, well, it sounds like it's telling me if I let go of this office, I'll move on to that next brightest thing. But it still didn't feel like a guarantee to me. I wanted to say, are you sure? And so I shuffled the cards, right? And these cards are real tiny, so you don't really shuffle them. But I kind of just stirred them around. And I drew two cards. And I got release and transformation again out of these, like, I don't know, 52 cards or something like that. So I love angel cards, and you can get them now. I mean, now they're out there in absolute abundance. You can go to just any local New Age shop, and they'll have, you know, 10, 15, maybe even 20 for you to choose from.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and anybody can use them.
So got about 4 minutes left, and I just wanted to get one more thing from you about what other kind of work you do, because I know you do lots of different things, and like you mentioned, you're trained in a lot of different areas. And does it all relate to angel work, or is some of it a little bit different?
You know, I always invite the angels to work with me in everything that I do. And so I would say it does involve the angels all the time. Even though it may not look like it. But I teach classes in metaphysics, and I always invite the angels to help me to inspire me on that next thing to do or say, because I want to make sure that I am as helpful as I possibly can be to the people who attend my classes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and anytime I see a client privately, I always invite the angels in. Absolutely.
And so what other kind of work do you do besides the classes and helping people to learn how to connect with angel work? What else do you offer people?
I also create vibrational elixirs, and they are the elixirs. They're kind of like, they're like the Bach flower essences, and that you take them internally. But they are made, I call in an angel, I invite an angel, whoever wants to come and help be a co-creator with this essence. And so I asked an angel, and I'll put some crystals in there so it has some crystal vibrations too.
Wow, wonderful. Do you do that specifically for each person, or do you make like a one, say, for serenity or one for anxiety or something like that? Or how do you do that?
You know, I make them in groups. I like to pick like a full moon or a season. And like recently, I made a lightworker series. Before that, I made one on well-being that has synchronicity and manifesting in it. So I just whatever inspires me is basically the next thing that is produced.
Right.
Yeah.
So how old are your children, by the way, and are they interested in your work, or how does that work out?
My kids are now 15 and 17, and they are not interested in this work because they see it as a normal part of every day. And so they think there's not one single thing special about it.
So funny. Wow.
It's just how life is supposed to be.
Do they talk to angels? Do they keep talking to angels and have that integrated into their life?
My daughter does more than my son. My son just tends to set his intention and figures the universe will help him figure out how to take that next step.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
What a great way for kids to grow up. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. You know, the universe is always talking to us, signs and synchronicities, and it's available to every person. And I love that it's normal to my kids.
Yeah.
So I really see the next generations to come, hopefully it will be normal.
Yeah, that would be fabulous.
You know, I can remember when I struggled to receive that kind of information.
Right.
You know, I didn't know it was supposed to be normal.
Yeah. Well, this has been fabulous. Can you tell us where we can find you, your website, and how else we can get a hold of you on Facebook, etc., for people who are interested?
Yes, my website is DeannaLayJoseph.com, and I'm on Facebook as Deanna Lay Joseph. I also have a page for my Bright Star group, which is just Facebook and then Bright Star Church, you know. Okay. So that's how you can find us.
Perfect. Well, this has been an just fantastic, fantastic pleasure to have you on. And really appreciate all the great information and your wonderful perspective. And I look forward to talking to you and seeing you here in the Inland Empire.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to get to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for joining us, Deanna. And thank you, Nona Marie, for that interview. If you'd like to find out more about Deanna Joseph, you can find her at deannasrealm.com. That's D as in David, E-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, A-S-realm.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements right now. Pretty soon we're going to get to the second hour where we will take your call in requests and questions, etc. And those are, of course, free. We're going to announce that number in a bit, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. What I'd like to remind you of, though, is that if you couldn't get to last week's topic, which was also very, very interesting, Maureen had Margaret Limbo on to talk about crystals. Also a very informative show. If you couldn't make it last week, you can get a recorded archive linked to that show, as well as archive recordings of all the previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. under the Archives tab. We'd appreciate you circulating the archive links and future show details among your friends and your family, those who you think or are sure could benefit from the material that we talk about here, because what we want to do is to connect with as many of you as possible, so we do appreciate you sharing the link. Also, it's a great idea to visit psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything pertaining to the paranormal and the spiritual, everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. Also, if you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with her or his own unique gift. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. You can choose from a list of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug in Psychic Access because of the high expectations and standards required of each psychic. Also, we're proud to bill ourselves as a scam-free zone. Honesty is one of our biggest strengths. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading. For traffic, that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen
to
the
New York, you might want to call back later. It's going to be at least 17 minutes before we start doing readings.
Appreciate it. Back to you.
Well, I love talking to Deanna. I just love her perspective on co-creation and the concept of surrender. And I was wondering how my fellow co-hosts feel about the interview and what you got out of it. Anybody out there, Maureen or Steven or Steve?
We're all like, who should go first? Who should go first? We're all chomping at the
just
bit.
Just say, hey, you're on.
Well, since I rushed to join to fill the void there, I'll say that I definitely enjoyed this interview. And the concept of angels is important to me, and it's one that's interesting to me. And so her remarks about co-creationism and surrender, I also found to be very pertinent, because you know, from a very young age, I realized that maybe the adults had it wrong, insisting that you go out into the world like some sort of, you know, rogue raisin in a loaf of bread. You know what I'm saying? Just push your own way into the loaf. Yeah, maybe you should just go where the loaf takes you as it rises. You know, and that was my approach. And so far, I think it's done me fairly well. I mean, I'm alive.
That's not a very American perspective. Mm-hmm. on how to approach life.
It's not.
It's a very spiritual one, but it's amazing you have that at a young age. That's phenomenal.
Well, I might add also that it runs counter to the sort of natural stamp of nature itself in the form of the archetypal zodiac, where the first sign is Aries, the second sign is Taurus. You know, so as the first house is Aries, the second house is Taurus. So with the first house Aries, the archetypal individual, the successful person, you know, does just like his parents tell him to do and encourage him to do. She or he goes out like an Aries person, very aggressively, grabs life by the throat and makes it cough up the ball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not just really American, but it's almost as if that's the archetype of life itself.
Yeah.
So it's really weird.
Have you, Stephen, studied? You mentioned, I think, when we had talked earlier about hierarchies of angels. Have you studied that at all?
Absolutely. You know, the sort of astrology that I practice is steeped in Neoplatonism, which emanated out of the ancient Mediterranean. And among some of the doctrines that Neoplatonism recognizes is the doctrine of reincarnation and also the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of hypercosmic sorts of entities that exist sort of in the space between the numbers. You know, the monad, which is the unity, what people who go to churches and mosques or synagogues would acknowledge as being God, you know, that monad. And then, you know, the image it makes of itself, the number one, the space in between that, the Neoplatonists would say were populated by angels or certain types of deities, etc. And likewise with the space in between the other emanations of the divine. So they not only exist in a hierarchy, but they array themselves in a sort of internecine or a stacked or layered manner in between various dimensions of existence itself.
Hmm.
So it's a very interesting study to embark upon, and you know, it's absolutely, I think it's vital to be connected somehow or to begin the connection process that one has with one's angel. For sure.
If someone wanted to start studying about hierarchy of angels, is there a particular phrase you would suggest they Google or a website that you like that would be a good starting point for people who want to learn more about angels?
See, well, we live in a day and age where people consider the fact that they finished Harry Potter to be an act of literary you know, they're a walking age of reason for having done that. Now, in order to get this stuff, you know, the best thing to do is to go to the person who wrote about it. Plato himself and Plotinus, you know. And there are English translations of this work, and it's in the public domain. I mean, you don't even have to pay for it.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
So,
source.
Yes.
That's the way we roll, buddy.
But you know, because what you find when you go back to the sources is that all the more modern texts, more modern sources just seem to draw upon the original sources anyway.
Right. Right.
So I think in metaphysics, Stephen's right, that just going straight back to Plato and co. is a wonderful thing to do.
I had no idea that Plato wrote about angels.
Well, they didn't call them angels back then. That's the thing. There's a distinction in terminology here. You know, the Hellenistic Greeks referred to them often as daimons. The Arabs would refer to it as al-mubtaz. The victor, the winner. So there's a shift in jargon, but the essential concept is the same.
Wow, yeah.
I want to add briefly that the goal of Neoplatonism and thus perhaps the goal of astrology itself was henosis. And, you know, there's a modern political party in Greece now called Henosis Party, and it means like solidarity, unity. You know, a unification of the divine, and they stressed that this was not a process one could actively do. It has to happen to you. You can't learn your way to enlightenment. It just happens to you. Plotinus is said to have happened to Plotinus on four separate occasions, and it was described rather paradoxically as indescribable bliss. So go figure that one out. How to describe indescribable bliss?
I know Plato also referred to another world as the good in capital letters or the beautiful in capital letters, which always seemed to me to be referring to a divine spiritual world where everything was at its highest potential, and that was something that we should always strive to connect to. Is that something you ran into in his writings? Or no?
Well, it's worthwhile trying to connect to it. Absolutely. The way to not get to it was to live in the world of, you know, sensory and temporal pleasures, because that's what invited evil in. You know, the goodness of a thing was indicated by balance.
Right.
You see, but when people started making mistakes and doing bad things, which they also acknowledged was inevitable, you know, because there was a certain quantum of that had to exist. And, you know, the metaphysics of it are quite complex, but worth working out, you know, in their implications and have helped me to apply astrology on a spiritual level. You know, the idea is that when you're born, your guardian angel is actually allotted to you before you're born. And, you know, one way that I think the doctrine might diverge from your guess is that the goal in astrology, at least spiritual astrology, was to actually bid your guardian angel farewell. Mm. And to say thank you very, very much, Jiminy Cricket. You've kept me out of trouble. There was that disreputable episode on Treasure Island or Pleasure Island at one time, but I don't fault you for that. But, you know, I don't need you anymore. Mm. I reject you now. So,
wow. Yeah. Fascinating.
It's interesting stuff.
Maureen, any opinions on angels, and do you work with them, and are they a force in your life? I think we lost Maureen.
No, we might have the mute key going on there.
Yeah. How about you, Steve? Are you do angels count a lot in your practice and what you do?
Well, yes, but probably not in the sense that most people would think. I believe that we're all on a path to ultimately turn to God or the source, and in my mind, angels are elevated, highly elevated forms of consciousness that are so purified that they are very close to the Godhead or to the source. So I believe that we're each journeying to experience, to grow through experience in that path of evolution, in effect. So I absolutely believe in angelic energies and entities, and I believe that that's where we all should ultimately be heading, although there's an enormous amount of work to reach that level of purity. I have seen Jesus Christ on two occasions. I'm not sure I've ever said this before in public, but he appeared to me when I was young, and he appeared to me in Hawaii about 5 years ago. Mm. And both experiences were just incredible. And on both occasions, he appeared in a way that we would recognize him. I don't believe, for example, that Archangel Michael looks as he may look in the books that we have with the illustrations that we have. I believe that these are non-physical entities, but they can appear in a physical form so that we recognize them. And on the two occasions I saw Jesus Christ, he certainly appeared in a way that, you know, you would recognize. You just knew it was Jesus Christ, because you could see that he looked like we think Jesus Christ looks. But I honestly think that's just done to so that for our sake, in effect, so that we recognize the entity. So they're fully functioning whole entities that have become completely purified and therefore resonate very close to the Godhead. So I believe that, yes, I'm working with the angels because I'm always trying to improve myself and let go of my defective behaviors or reactions, characteristics. And I have a lot of these discussions with clients because I try to help people understand very clearly how they've evolved and therefore where they go wrong and how they can improve, evolve, purify themselves. And I think, well, I know that is the, that's the only route to alchemy. So there was discussion about the law of attraction, and I don't really like the term law of attraction because I think it really brings up images of people that are of us trying to get things that we want, and I don't believe that that's what it's about. And I actually try now not to ask spirit for anything, because I trust spirit, and I trust that they know me better than I know myself. I trust that they know what I need more than I do, and I trust that wanting things is not necessarily the best way to live life and to live in the now. So I try to just trust that spirits bring me what they feel I need and deserve. And I find that the more I work on myself, the more I try to improve myself, the more I try to be of value in the world to other people, the more magic there is in the air, and the more that spirit just astound me at times with synchronicities and rewards. It's magical. So I find the more and more I just let go of the whole concept of wanting things or trying to get things or the more I just ignore that part of me, that human part of me, the more magic I see. And I think that when magical things happen in the world, we need to stop and recognize that this is spirit-led. So if we meet somebody wonderful, a wonderful partner or a wonderful friend, we receive some kind of benefit or reward, we need to stop and recognize that this is magic, this is alchemy, and this is spirit, this is the truth. It's a long-winded answer, but that's my answer.
I love that perspective, by the way, and I completely 100% agree with you. And my prayers these days are things, I think I have three: help me, show me, and thank you. That's it. And to help me, I don't even know what, you know, I don't ask for a specific kind of help. I just put a call out saying I could use some extra signs because I'm being particularly dense right now. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And I find it so helpful to try to keep my human personality, ego, desires, etc., and judgments out of the way, because then it really limits what we can get from another dimension.
Yeah, you see, I have a different perspective or view on the ego, because I know that mostly now we speak about reducing the ego or avoiding the ego, and actually I believe in embracing the ego, because I believe that the ego is almost implanted by the Godhead, because it is the ego that causes us to at times make choices, that draws us into mistakes and lessons that we create on some level. And I believe that we do that out of an innate draw towards growth. So I believe that that's driven by the Godhead or the Source, the Creator. And so I think that the original intention behind the word ego was actually about that spark of divinity that actually does get us into trouble at times, but its purpose on those occasions is growth. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've lost or changed, mutated somehow the meaning of the word ego, because we generally refer to ego now as that part of us that you know, wants to win or wants to be right, or etc.
Right, that's a really interesting perspective. If I understand you correctly, I think you're saying that it's kind of a tool that can draw us into or drive us into the lessons that we need to learn. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely, because I believe that we only learn from two things, pleasure and pain. Yeah. And we create pain unconsciously and sometimes consciously. You know, you can sit with people that are, you can sit with a client that's clearly making a choice that's that's going to cause them pain, but it's because they don't have the strength to choose otherwise at that time, and that's okay. But we grow through pain and pleasure. So you put your finger in the fire and you experience physical pain because it's built into us. You need to experience physical pain because how else would you know that your physical being, your physical life, or your life on the earth plane is at risk? If you could just put your finger in the fire and didn't feel anything, then you wouldn't avoid putting yourself at risk, potentially putting your whole life at risk. Yeah. And you do it a second time and you realize, oh gosh, it hurts again. And then you learn from, you know, oh, fire, if I put my finger in the fire, it's always going to hurt. Fire is always hot, and excessive heat is never good for the human body. Like an excessive, we don't like an excessive heat or of cold. Mm-hmm. And so physical pain is a feedback mechanism saying, hey, you're involved in something here that's not not conducive to life. And equally, emotional pain, psychological pain, any form of pain is feedback from God or from the universe, from our higher selves, that we're involving ourselves in something that's detrimental to our well-being. And so I also believe that the more we purify ourselves, the more we accept and love ourselves the way we are, the less we need to unconsciously create pain. The more we therefore choose to embrace and evolve through pleasure. Because if you look at the world, I mean, nearly everybody's involved in creating pain for themselves, and they're growing through it, but it's damned hard growth.
Right.
This is very fascinating, you guys. I would like to go ahead and pass out the call-in number, if you guys don't mind. We've come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And please be advised that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So please just try to relax and listen to the show while you wait. And when you get onto the air, we ask that you're very clear and direct with your question, because we can take only one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls in the line for a reading. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. Okay, thanks, Nona. Just wanted to get that number out there, you know?
No problem. Thank you.
And actually, I have a caller myself from Ohio. Hello. Who am I speaking with in Ohio?
Jeannie.
Hello, Jeannie. How may I help you this evening?
Yeah, I was wondering if you've seen me being somebody I'll be happy with and have a long-lasting relationship with soon.
Okay. One second. Let me see if that's going to be forming for you soon, okay?
Okay.
Now, I'm sure, you know, this is something I always come across, you know, but my definition of soon might be different from your definition of soon. My definition of soon is like within 12 months, you see, because we're talking about something that's very important, you know. I mean, it could happen before 12 months, but I'm confident that it probably shouldn't happen much long after that. But what's most important of all is that this will be a relationship that you're very happy with, and you're going to feel very fortunate in that relationship. However, what I can't guarantee is that you know, certain destructive patterns might not come forth again in that relationship. So, you know, you want to, at this point, in preparation for this big love, this good love that is indeed coming, and can indeed give you everything that you want. In order to prepare for that, and this is why you don't have it right now, because this is a period of preparation, okay? In order to prepare for it, now is the time to troubleshoot on all the past relationships and not really, you know, if you can, you know, see what could I have done to have avoided the process, to avoid it, should I have picked this ex to begin with, you know, things like that. Because what I can see, if there's going to be a problem, it's going to be a problem in the arena of communication. Either he's not going to understand you, what you say to him, or you're going to misinterpret everything that he says. You know, so this might be a pattern that could occur, some sort of fault in communication, but you know, I don't think it's going to be enough to really ruin things. However, if you work it out, it'll be a great relationship. Really great.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Now, let's see here. Do we go back to Banter Guys, or do we have somebody else waiting for a call? Oh, we have a caller also from Ohio for Maureen.
Well, Ohio it is. Hello, Ohio. This is Maureen. Hello. And may I have your name, please?
Yes. I was just me getting a new vehicle.
A new vehicle. Okay. Thanks for the direct question, everybody. This is a very good point of asking one. One moment, please, and I will check in that for you. Okay. You know, this is what I'm feeling is that you certainly deserve a new vehicle, even though it's a material item. I do feel that there's a lot of feelings of feeling a little bit things are not really, the sun's not shining on you. If you're in a position, and I see that you are learning about some new things, it's almost like reinventing or feeling passionate again about life, because it looks like your heart's been hurt. I say absolutely. And if you are, did you ask this question with a vehicle in mind that you have in your mind that you would like to get?
It's kind of like a SUV, because my husband can't get in now in my car. And because of bad back and the bad leg, and I can't hardly, because I have bad issues with the nerves.
So that's some things that you need. Not only it's not like it's a I want this so much. It's a need.
I need it.
And you absolutely. I see. It really, this comes to, it will be your choice, but I want you to know it's really important what your need is, especially what you're saying now, because it has to do with the physical and feeling more comfortable, and give yourself permission and being okay about going for it and getting that new car. I see it.
Shortly?
I see it very shortly. I mean, I see sort of, you're already putting it out there. Have you looked at a particular one thing or two?
Yeah, I drove one. Yeah, there's two of them. I drove one yesterday, but I'd written one like a week ago. One's a Chevy, one's a Honda.
Okay. Honda's always a good car, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, I have leased one right now, a Honda Civic, and I love it, but it's not. Oh. It's just too low to the ground.
Right. You know, I do feel it's going to be the second one or the third one that you are been looking. It's going to be exactly what is needed and what you want, and you'll feel so much happier inside. And I can understand if your physical well-being would be part of that, definitely, because it can be frustrating. Yes, and also you don't need to always take so many people into your home. and you know, I'm not. Sometimes when you have people,
you can handle
getting this new car as well for yourselves. Put yourselves first right now. It's really important.
Yep.
Okay, I hope I helped you.
You did, and thank you. And you
guys
are
thank you.
Friends.
Bless your heart. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you would like a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. And now we have a caller from Massachusetts for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hi, this is Richa here, and I just wanted to know that I'm trying to get a $10 million plus deal at Liberty Mutual. Will I be able to get it, and when?
Let me see. Well, I feel that the first thing I would say is, and it might sound, well, it's not obvious because it's not necessarily just about communication. There are many other factors in a deal, particularly a significant deal like this. I feel that the key to this deal is communication. I don't just feel it's purely about the numbers, purely about the potential contract and services that are in scope. I feel like they really have to feel confident about communication with your organization. They really want to be very sure that they can work well with the organization and that they would have an extremely strong collaboration together. And I honestly feel that there hasn't been enough just genuine, open, quality dialogue. I feel as though the process so far has been very technical, and that there needs to be more warmth, more interaction, more listening, more expression, or feeding back of understanding in order to get this deal. I do feel that the deal can be won, but I don't feel at this stage that it's a yes or no answer on this. I honestly feel that it's probably 70% in your organization's favor right now, but there's more work to be done. And as I've said, that's very much about communication, genuine rapport building, listening very carefully to what they need, and you know, listening to what they're not saying as well. So that's what I feel for you.
Yeah, Steve, just to give you a little background, I have just taken up this new position, and this deal would make or break my career. And I'm at the inception stage. I'm just trying to find the contact, whom to talk to, and then I'll tag team the people who know their subject better to interface with these C-level people. So honestly, my real, will this work out in my favor, basically? Because the things that you just now told me, I know that, you know, $10 million deal cannot be won without conversations. But do I even have the contacts right now in my mind to get it, or...
No, I feel that you can. I'm not being negative about it. I feel that you can, and I feel that it would be an enormous accolade for you. So I would say it's more likely that you win the deal, but you need to think about this theme of communication and sort of rapport building. And I know from what you've said that you're looking at how you can do that, but I feel that that's key. I feel if you take that approach, then absolutely you can win this deal.
And
the outlook is good.
When do you feel most likely I will be able to bag it, or is it like far away, or it's like within a month?
Well, this is the thing, you see, this is about listening carefully to what's being said, and I feel that your organization can deliver what this client wants, but I feel that you need to listen very carefully to what's being said, rather than being overly focused on what it is you want to hear. So... The deal you make up, this deal is definitely one you can win, but you've got to listen to them carefully and truly assimilate, truly absorb what they're saying and what they're not saying, rather than, again, staying focused on your agenda and what you want from the interaction. Because honestly, you do have, I feel strongly, you have a tendency not to hear what's being said because you're so focused on your objective. So if you almost loosen up that focus on your objective and aim to be really present, really absorb what's occurring and understand and relay that appreciation and work with it, then yes, if you take that approach, you can win this deal. But if you don't take that approach, I don't feel that you will. But I feel so far it's about 70% in your favor. But you've got to listen, listen, listen. Listening is an enormous skill, and I've done a lot of negotiation in my time, and the art of it is letting people talk and listen, 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 because they'll even tell you their weaknesses. They'll show you the chinks in their armor if you let them talk enough. So it's about listening. If you listen carefully, you can do this. You really can. Okay?
Okay, and is there any time frame that you see this happening if I listen carefully?
3 months. 3 to 4 months. This is not a fast process. This is a drawn out process. They're going to take their time. You want to support them in taking their time and encourage them to be very, very thorough. Okay? Now, wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. Do I even have the contact?
I can't take more than one question from you. Contact is a psychic access, and we can look at it more thoroughly for you. But listen back to what we've covered, and I think if you listen back to it, you'll feel good about it, okay? And I wish you lots of luck.
All right. Thank you very much. And you can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller from Virginia for Nona.
Hello, Virginia. What's your name?
Hello. Hi, Lativia.
I'm sorry?
My name is Lativia.
Lativia? Thank you.
Lativia.
Okay.
I have a question regarding my marriage because I feel betrayed by my husband. We're separated. So I'm trying to see, what's ahead?
So are you asking about whether you should get back with him or not? Is that kind of where you're going?
Yes. I want to know what's going on because I don't, right now it's a lot of stuff that's going on. I'm trying to see like what approach do I need to take to build our marriage.
And what's his first name?
His first name is McCauley and his date of birth is 10/9/82. His birthday is today actually.
Wow. Coley. Well, I'll tell you, he's a little bit of a trickster, this guy. He's got a silver tongue, as they say. He can pretty much talk himself out of anything. Get himself out of any tight corner. He's a very, very good talker. And I think you know who this guy is. I think you know all about him. He also tends to stray from monogamy. But he always has a reason or an excuse or a story, etc., about it. So I would say this to you. If you want this marriage to continue to work, you're going to have to accept who he is and work with that. It's kind of like people sometimes will get a greyhound and then they complain that the greyhound chases rabbits. Well, that's what greyhounds do. They chase the bunny around the track. So this guy, you know who he is, and I think that you are actually very good at handling him. I think the bigger question here really is, do you want to continue in this relationship, or would there be someone else if you put an end to this? I think that's your sort of secret question. Would you say that's correct?
Well, yeah, my God.
Yeah. So you can keep this guy, but nothing's going to change. You know, it's going to go in and out like it has forever. And I'm not saying that's particularly a bad thing. I'm just saying you have to get very realistic about it and not expect him to change. You can set better boundaries with him you know, so that he has bad behavior, has more consequences, but that's not changing him. The focus there is on protecting yourself in the relationship. Yeah. And I would think if you need to get on the internet and look up some material on how to set boundaries, because that's hard to do. Setting boundaries is hard. It's kind of an art form, and it's a difficult skill to do, and a lot of us don't do it well. So I'd strongly suggest you do that while you're working it through with him. I do think that in 2 more years, this relationship will be completely over. You will just have had it at that point. I don't think you're done with him right now. But I think right now, you have a lesson in front of you about setting boundaries, taking better care of yourself, not putting up with such nonsense from him. You are very tough with him, but then you kind of roll over after a while. Does that make sense, what I'm telling you? Is that clear?
Well, no, I have. When you say set boundaries, I've been setting a lot of boundaries for him this year because he has been, a lot of things he used to do, he's not doing it anymore because I don't allow it. So you're right about the boundaries. Excellent. I haven't given in with him at all. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
You used to do that in the past, though, correct?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You used to do that with him in the past, correct?
Yeah, I used to, but not no more. This year has been me being tough on him about our kids and everything else. So it's been a hard road, but I've been sticking to everything I said, and I have not letting him get away with anything.
Good for you. That is excellent. So I would say continue with that work because you are not quite ready to give him up yet. But I think in 2 years, you will be done with him. So for now, I would say I don't really need to give you advice on how to handle him. You're doing great. When he goes off the rails, so to speak, just leave him alone. He comes back to you all the time. He does love you. In his way, he loves you. I'm not saying that he's perfect or that, you know, people love us, but they don't behave well. So the man loves you. That's not the question. The question is his behavior. He doesn't behave well. So he will come back to you, and I think you've been tough. I think you need to get even tougher. I think you need to take it up even a notch more on taking care of yourself. And you've done great work so far, and I think you need to do it a little bit more. And the day that you are done with him, you'll just know it. There won't even be any emotion about it. It will just be over. And that's the time to just say, we're done. There won't be a feeling of wanting revenge or to punish or to get mad or anything. It's just over. And I would wait for that time, because if you don't and you end it prematurely, you'll have this little nagging question in your mind, like, should I have stayed a little longer? Should I have tried a little bit harder? So
okay,
he's not going to do a lot of damage. He really isn't. He talks the story, but he's getting less and less determined in his bad behavior because of what you have done for him. You've really helped him grow up.
That's exactly what I've been trying to do, because I'm like, he needs to grow up. He's like a little child. So we have kids to raise, so I've been making sure he man up, so to speak.
That's right. So keep doing your work, and when you're sick of him, when you're done, you will know it. I think you've got some time to go on that. But stay strong and get even stronger is what I would say to you. And don't get into any arguments with him about his behavior. You just set your boundary and leave it be. It's kind of like take it or leave it with him. And because when you argue with him, this man can, like I said, he can talk himself out of any situation.
He used to, not no more, because I know him, been 11 years married, I know him, so he can't do that with me. I'm more like action now. I've been talking for 11 years, I want action. So that's why I'm going to set my boundaries even higher, like you said, and we're going to go from there.
Good, perfect. So I think you're okay, sweetheart. It just, you know, it is, you're seeing the situation correctly. It is what it is. And there's no magic answer out of this except tighten up even more, hold your ground, and at some point you will be done with him. Once you are done with him, it'll be a couple of years, there will be someone else who comes in for you. All right, sweetie?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And good work, by the way. Excellent work for yourself.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like a reading from Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from New York. Hello, New York. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm calling in regards to my relationship.
Okay.
We had like a horrible summer and we broke up, but we're friends now. We talk all the time, but he's trying to change. However, I personally don't trust him. I keep arguing with him and bringing up the situation over and over because I just don't trust him. The same things that were done in the past are being done now. Like the girl, she kind of like harasses me. But he says the thing is going on, but because of the same action, because I'm getting the same answers from the same actions, I don't know if I should trust him this time. Like, we were supposed to work on getting back together, but I don't know.
I could tell you right now for a fact that you can't trust him right now. I see that. I'm not just pulling that out of the sky or anything like that. You can't trust him. And this is going to be difficult because you know what? He's going to make it very easy for you to trust him pretty soon. That's going to be the hard part about it. You're going to feel like all of your wishes and biggest fantasies and dreams regarding this relationship, they're going to feel like they're coming true for a while. However, I don't think you're going to know what's going on behind the scenes 100%. And I can tell you he's not 100% going to be 100% honest. I can also tell you that the same harmful patterns that showed up in the past are going to show up again. And I see this from the evidence I have before my eyes. Trump 19 is the sun, and it's coming next. That's the good period that I forecast for you. That's the period where you're going to be like, man, everything is hunky-dory here. Everything is great. I'm enjoying life. And then after that, is the actual final trump of the tarot, which is like a culmination of everything. You see, that's going to really.
You're saying he still speaks to this girl, that they still have something?
Oh yeah, my thinking on the matter is that he's probably, for the time being at least, going to keep her on standby. Now, you know, as time, there's a certain shelf life that lasts on these readings, okay? Now, if you're with the guy for 2 or 3 years, you know, the shelf life of this reading has worn off by that time. Then there might be, some change going on. But right now, I mean, if you want to see significant change of this relationship, you're going to have to kind of wait probably for well over a year to see that sort of thing coming in, you know? But
do you think cutting him off would be the best thing to do?
I'm sorry I didn't understand what you said, but I mean, really, I can't really answer that many questions, unfortunately. You know, the question was, in the future, is he going to revert back to his bad behavior? Is he being honest with me, essentially? You know, is this new version of my relationship going to make it? And, you know, even though it seems, I mean, it's very confusing because it seems on the surface very rosy, yet the overall answer to the question is no, and such is life. So, you see, it's going to seem nice, but in the long run, with the way things are going, I expect him to revert back to his old behavior. And this is judging from the influences that I see now. So I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but the safest thing for you to do right now is just to move forward, assuming that you cannot trust this gentleman. Okay, and that's all I have for you at this time. I wish you all the best on that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, now we have another call. Is that from Ohio? Am I reading that correctly? Maureen, are you?
Yes, you are. I see. Thank you, Stephen.
Sure.
Hello, Ohio. This is Maureen. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
You already talked to me earlier. I'm just listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I have your name, please?
It's Kathy.
Kathy. Okay. Hi, Kathy. What can I do for you?
I was just wondering, do you see me just ever getting to get a new living room outfit?
Did I talk to you a moment ago about some? Okay, I thought you just called up. You haven't called up tonight.
Not tonight, no.
No, you haven't. Okay. So you would like to know if you are going to be getting a new living room?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm getting. Well, You know, it's interesting. The timing right now has not been a good idea to be getting something of that nature. It looks like there's a delay about either moving or doing something new in your home. So my feeling and what I'm getting and seeing is that you should wait a little bit longer. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking around and all that. But it does feel like the timing has not just been really good about it altogether. But something about your home needs to be more settled first. Absolutely, I do feel within the next 3 months, it's a much better opportunity that I see realistically of that happening, though. And also in a better financial state of mind, being able to do that, you know, because it is something that would cost money. I see a man on board with the same idea as well, and the fear of poverty will be more like behind you. And like I said, just a fear of poverty. But I do feel that you definitely, you definitely will. But right now, not so much. I would say until after 3 months from now or something like that. Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for calling, and goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, Steve, you have a call from Texas.
Thank you. Who's calling from Texas?
Hi, this is Lashandra.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
Wondering, the job that I'm currently with, I like it, but I'm just wondering, do you see something better coming through?
Whether I see a different role coming for you?
Yes, a different job coming through.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'd say is I can see that I feel like your work is quite unusual, to be honest with you. That's the first thing I would say to you. And I can see as well that there are things that you like about it, but there are things that really frustrate you. I feel that in this role, although it's interesting, the field of work is pretty interesting. There isn't really room for growth, so there's this feeling that you're sort of stuck where you are and can't move forward. And I can see as well that you've lost your passion for this role. I do feel that there's movement, but I don't feel that you're going to change roles immediately. I feel that you'll need to wait. I feel about 4 or 5 months before the right opportunity comes up for you. But it will be a great opportunity that you feel excited about. You'll feel more passionate about the work. And you will also feel that you're more noticed, more recognized in that new role. So you'll feel that you count and that there are opportunities for you moving forward. I don't feel that it's necessarily the perfect dream situation, but I certainly feel that it's a step forward. And as I said, I feel it's about 4, maybe 5 months away. So let's see, it's the middle of October, isn't it? November, December, January. So it looks like about beginning of February through to beginning of March. That's when the shift occurs for you, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Wish you lots of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller from California for Nona.
Hi, California person. Are you there? Hello, hello. California, are you there? We may have lost them. I don't hear anybody. I don't hear snoring. I don't hear sneezing.
Hold on. Sometimes it takes a little bit.
Yeah.
We might have to fill the void talking about angels some more until more callers call in. I'm always down to talk about angels, Nona.
Well, we missed Maureen's comments about
yes. Well, you did, and again, you know, between me and you, you know what I'm talking about. It was
yeah,
a very Good. It was very tranquil for me, and I was really enjoying it. It was very calming. And thank you for that, and your guest. I'm being a little bit all about me, but self-absorbed. but I would like to bring something up about angels, because I don't. I was raised Catholic. I love angels. we grew up with angels. Saints and angels are kind of like one and the same. Or the same likeness to me, same soul likeness. But there's a lot of people that I run across, or I have run across in the world that we live in, that I can really say whether they're, angelical angels from heaven, I don't know. But there's certainly been quite angel in the form of unconditionally being so helpful, or just it could be a little something that they've done. And a lot of times I've noticed they're women. I don't know why. And I go, okay, so they call them earth angels, right? Well, for instance, how many people, I don't know about you, Nona, but being a woman, there's not very many males I've had notice offering help when my car is broken down. Mm-hmm. Because I'll usually be a take charge woman anyway, and I can deal with this and I'll lift a hood. But it seems like couple of different times a woman came into the rest, came and, rose to the occasion and really helped me. I'm just giving you an example of such. Now, is that angel-like? Yeah, because I was alone. I had a little girl with me, and she was very small. So, to me, some people are just kind, and just, it could be a little something that could make all the difference in the day, or something that I reflect upon that happened, that I met across somebody, and it'll remind me maybe 10 years later what they may have said, and it's like, wow, they made a significant, it would be something that was real significant. I would, reflect back. I see somewhat of an angel, like, do you follow what I'm trying to say about
yes.
what?
Yes.
And so who's to say, readings, people say my angels are telling me. I don't get that kind of thing going on, and I'm not saying it doesn't, but I always think wonderful things. And when I see a little bird wing flying down, I always say, well, maybe that's my dad saying hi. There's a, on the ground, I see a little, not a wing, a little feather, not a wing, not their wing falling, a feather, a pretty feather, and, I don't know, but she was very lovely and just really relaxing to hear her. She had a very, without her doing it on purpose, it just was the way she was. And I wish I could say more about anything else, but I would not be telling the truth, because I was, kind of far away. But anyway, so thank you. For having that lovely, relaxing interview for me.
Thanks for the comments.
I'm just still chuckling here about Stephen's comments. Let's fill the void with some angels. I love it. I think, and it's good advice, because, I mean, if you think about it, I was laughing, and then afterwards I was trying to think about, well, what can this mean, because. I think filling any void within ourselves with that aspiration towards spiritual glorification is absolutely the thing to do.
But yeah, I agree.
The way you say it was just brilliant. It's just comic, just classic. Fill the void with some angels.
Hey, why not? Let's fill it up. Well, I mean, I think it's testimony.
That could be on the cover of an old virtue book.
Hey, it's testimony to the idea that the ultimate source is indeed good. Oriented toward goodness, natural goodness.
Yeah, but, Michael, if I had an angel like Michael, John Travolta, well, hey, that's pure goodness to me. And that was pure, perfect sense of humor. He was my kind of angel. But, really, it's interesting because angels are just so... It's so lovely, and we're raised in the religions that we have. There's talk about angels and such, but I just feel that I would love to have an experience. And I like I said, all I know is what I know, so I don't believe in them. But I love the term. What does the term go about angels? Only angels are fools of no fools thread to go there. How's that go? Unknown. Remember? Do you know what I'm talking about? Only angels would thread. Fools would be foolish enough to thread. With would dare go to a place like of whatever, where angels were being fooled, they would actually go to a certain place that was kind of like uncomfortable. There's a, you know, there's a saying, gosh, you guys, come on, help me out here. Throw me a bone.
The only angel saying I know of is dancing on the, you know, for some reason, humanity thought it was important to picture angels dancing on the head of a pin and to compare that with, like, you know, certain qualities.
God, it's going to bother me all night. You know what? I'm going to get back to you next week and tell everybody, okay, everybody, this is what I was trying to say. And I, you guys will go, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. I don't know. Angels can be scary.
They can be scary, though. You bring up a good point. Certain of them have been, according to the, you know, certain mythologies and certain parts of the Bible, certain of them have been given kind of grim tasks.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting to see how they're portrayed in various types of mythologies and sacred writings, to see other people's perspective on angels.
And Steve, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I feel I did anyway. What were you saying? Steve?
No, not at all, more. I was just trying to think of that saying. I know what you... it's on the tip of my tongue as well, but I can't think of it.
Yeah, it's like we're angels. I'm going to figure it out. I'll be calling you in the middle of the night as soon as I do.
There's one about fools rush in where angels...
Yes.
Spread.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that's the one. I always thought that was something interesting. I used to ponder that because in Catholic school, I go, what? I'm glad you knew that. What I was saying, I'm not out of my mind. So okay, there. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that. You know what I was going with that.
Well, thanks, guys, for joining us here tonight. Thank you, Nona, for that wonderful interview. A big thanks to Deanna Joseph for joining us tonight. And of course, also a big thanks to Doug C., who works hard behind the scenes to bring you the Psychic Viewpoint every week. We've reached the end of yet another wonderful show. Next week, Steve, I do believe you have a topic for us.
Yes, we have a wonderful guest, Joanne Pye, and we will be discussing hypnotherapy and also past life regression.
Oh, very good. That's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. So we will see you guys next week, next Thursday. Have a great week, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.